Providence Talks coach, Stephanie Paglarini, knocks on the back door of an apartment building a couple miles west of downtown.
Well, hello there.
Several children answer the door. They usher her into a sparsely furnished living room where she settles in cross-legged on the floor with 2-year-old Chloe.
Do you want to read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While Paglarini reads, right. Chloe watches closely. Her brown curls bob up and down with excitement. She wears a turquoise tank top and a matching turquoise skirt.
He can say moo, moo. Can you moo?
Yes.
How do you moo?
Moo.
Moo.
Chloe's mom, Serena Gill, smiles from a nearby couch. She has 4 older children, but she says Chloe's her last, and she wanted to do things differently. One of her sons has developmental delays, and it took her, she feels, too long to notice.
This made me really open my eyes and realize, you know, I need to communicate with her more, to, you know, read to her more, you know, everything.
Some families naturally talk a lot to babies, but researchers have found that others don't. And the difference can add up to as many as 30 million fewer words heard in the first 3 years of life, according to one study. It's led researchers to wonder whether this might have something to do with lower test scores, especially for low-income and minority students.
It really all comes down to the brain and the fact that, number one, that learning begins at birth.
Dana Suskin directs the 30 Million Word Initiative, a Chicago program similar to Providence Talks. And she's on the board of Providence Talks. She likes to say that you don't need a PhD to build a child's vocabulary. You just need to spend some time reading and talking with your child. Even a baby too young to speak can soak up all those words.
Sounds so intuitive. Oh, go talk more. But really how we talk and interact in our daily lives is, you know, it's a pretty ingrained thing. So the fact that you can move that is very exciting.
But how do you move behavior so personal as how you talk to your child? And should you? Critics say that has the ring of cultural imperialism. Providence Talks coach Stephanie Paglarini says her approach is to focus on what parents already do, just encourage them to do it more, and to narrate even the simplest daily tasks.
I think it's more about empowering them, just knowing that the simplest thing that they do, the simplest change that they do, that they make in their life, that has a great impact on their child.
Families in Providence Talks get to see the impact of their efforts firsthand. Their children periodically wear a device called a word pedometer. It's about the size of a credit card, and it counts the number of adult words the child hears and the number of conversations with an adult. It can also tell when the TV is on, and those words don't count when coaches review the numbers with parents. Chloe's mom, Serena Gill, calls it a learning experience.
She was watching TV a lot. These numbers were so high. She's like, I see there's a lot of TV, you know. I'm like, yeah.
But a few months later, Gill and her daughter Chloe are star pupils. TV time is down and reading has become a daily routine. At the end of their final Providence Talks coaching visit, Chloe jumps into mom's lap with a book.
Yes, there's a duck.
Can we read it? Can we read it?
You want to read it? That's a pumpkin.
The pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
This is exactly the kind of back and forth that makes coaches like Stephanie Paglarini cheer. They're also encouraged by data from the Providence Talks pilot, which showed families with the lowest word counts at the start gained the most, an average of nearly 4,000 words per day by the end of the program. Whether they maintain those gains is something researchers will be watching. A professor at Brown University plans to follow the program as it grows to some 2,000 families. He'll also study data from elementary schools when the Providence Talks children get to kindergarten. Elizabeth Harrison, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.